Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friend, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to. I know there's plenty of other great podcasts out there. This is the only one you actually have to listen to.
Indeed.
Mandatory, regulated by the U.S. government. You got to listen to this podcast.
Not true, but okay, I get your point.
It's a sales point. Anyways, we're also available on, we are available on YouTube at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, little notify bell next to it. Make sure you're always getting new Going In Raw content. It's daily at this point, Larson. We do
yeah,
so much
is.
Content.
Unless it falls on a federal holiday.
Yeah, we're also, then it's relaxation for Steven Larson.
Yeah.
Chilling, usually just hanging around in my undies.
Mellow.
Hanging out, literally.
Oh, dear.
Right? Penos.
No. Oh, dear.
We're also available wherever fine podcasts can be found if you're listening to this show on a podcast. It's really great if you were to leave a rating or a review. I don't know why I said it like that. Hey, look, it's really great. Leave a rating or a review. It helps boost the exposure of Going In Raw.
Yeah.
We're also available at Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. Many reward tiers, including asking questions on the show.
Uh-huh.
Having your questions read.
That's right.
At $20, you can get your damn face on the show on the Matt Chat.
Yeah.
You got to do video questions. And then there's also like a comic book thing, like care package. It's really great.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's
once we get to office, I'm going to like put together a new pre-roll thing. And then like a little video commercial for the Friendo care package.
All right.
Sell just a ton of them.
Yeah, sounds good.
Money hand over fist, Larson.
Sounds good. I like money.
That's our new motto.
Yeah.
Money hand over fist.
I like money.
Yeah, me too. I mean,
should be our new motto. I like money.
I like money. I like money's good. Anyways, we're also prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. We got a bunch of great designs. Here are all of them. And bang. Well done. Oh, man. We got a lot of news to run down this week.
We do. Let's start from...
some interesting things happening.
Top. So, Steve, I'm going to pose to you a question. I want
Please
you to
do.
Answer it immediately.
Okay.
What the heck is wrong with SmackDown?
It's broken.
It
yes.
could be. So, Wrestling News Daily
mm-hmm.
posted a tweet on Wednesday, which they said was an image of the hard cam side of the arena in Phoenix, in which SmackDown took place this week.
Correct.
And what they showed was a barren wasteland of empty seats.
Oh, dear.
It was virtually empty.
Oh,
handful
goodness.
Handful of people seated in the stands. You know, the floor was mostly filled. But the whole hard cam side
yeah.
was empty.
Yeah.
I just checked on the newsletter, Wrestling Observer newsletter, about attendance. Because, you know, both were on SmackDown. We're both in Phoenix in the same arena.
Mm-hmm.
To see what the difference was.
It was like 6,000, wasn't it?
Well, the difference was in 6,000. SmackDown got about 6,300.
Yeah.
Raw got about 8,300. So the difference is about
2,000
fans.
Right, yeah.
So it's not like Raw was drawn like gangbusters either.
Right.
Anyway, this comes on the heel of some ratings reports as far as SmackDown that up until this past week's show saw week over week declining ratings. In fact, the episode that aired not this week, the previous week on February 13th, saw the show hit its lowest rating mark since the Halloween episode of 2017. Now it makes perfect sense why ratings would be low on Halloween. People are out trick-or-treating,
yeah.
partying, dressing up.
Mm-hmm.
Why the February, you know, it could have been low on February 13th because the day before the Valentine's Day.
People were F. They were having sex in each other.
Along about that, but they were celebrating Valentine's Day perhaps a day early.
Yeah.
So to avoid the crowded nature of the restaurants on the day itself.
Do you guys usually do restaurants out for
Not
Valentine's
anymore.
Day? Yeah, we don't do that.
We used to.
I don't even like going. Well, I like going to restaurants when it's dead. I like going anywhere when it's
you
dead.
You don't like people. That's
no
why.
People, exactly.
But, oh, continue if you want. So the February 13th episode did a bit over 2.4 million, whereas this week's episode, this past Tuesday, the 20th, did over 2.6 million. About 150,000 more viewers, and I speculate it's because there was no basketball on.
Yeah, the NBA, All-Star break right now.
NBA's All-Star break ends today on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Games are back. But for the first half of this week, no basketball. So 150,000 more people, rather than watching basketball, decided to watch wrestling. Entirely possible. I've been hearing the last few weeks that ratings for NBA basketball across the board are up, I think, like 8% or something like that.
Yeah, NBA is doing gangbusters these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And so we'll see if it goes down 150,000 next week, because basketball is coming back.
Yeah. Or is back now, yeah.
You're right. The we've seen empty-ish arenas before, pictures of that stuff.
Yeah. This is not the first time we've seen that.
It's always difficult to gauge. Is it before the show? Is it after the show? Is it during 205 Live?
Yeah, we don't know.
We went, I mean, just anecdotally speaking. Well, there's two anecdotal pieces of evidence that I can provide that, yeah, SmackDown's broken. Actually, three, really. Number one, we watched the show.
Yes.
We review it. And if you've watched our SmackDown reviews, we really like to be positive on this show. We try to show you, we try to emphasize what we like and de-emphasize what we don't like, or point out constructive criticisms of what we don't like.
Yeah, we always try to be fair. We don't try to be negative about things for the sake of being negative.
But SmackDown has been struggling creatively lately. Yes. It's
hard to argue against
It's hard to argue against that. But hold on. Anecdotally, we went to go see a SmackDown Live, WWE Live show here at the Golden One Center. That lower bowl looked pretty good.
It was kind of uniformly filled in around the whole thing, but like the first third of the lower bowl was empty and the entire deck was tarped off.
Yeah.
So there's maybe, if I had to speculate, I can look on the newsletter and probably get the exact figure. I'd probably say 4,000.
Four to 5,000.
Yeah.
For a WWE live show, that I have no idea what the average is. That's a lot better than some of the. What do you have?
I have some numbers here from the newsletter. On 218, there's a SmackDown house show that got 3,700 in Rio Rancho, New Mexico.
The Raws are doing about the same then.
For house shows, yeah.
Yeah.
SmackDown. There's a Raw house show in Eugene, Oregon. They got 2,250. Raw house show in Portland got 4,500.
So yeah, that's about normal. So it kicks up a couple thousand for the TV taping.
Yeah,
I don't know what to say about that. I do know this. It's kind of interesting, and I don't know if it's just because our audience skews more towards what we like, and we do really like NXT. But I mean, on the trend on our channel is pretty simple. The better the WWE ratings are, the better our shows do, because the better the ratings are, the more people
are interested in the product.
And lately, it's been really fascinating that our NXT 205 Live recaps do virtually the same numbers as the SmackDown shows. And SmackDown reaches probably, you know, at least 1.5 million more people, I would think.
Well, they actually watch it, yeah.
That actually watch it. I mean
in terms of reach, it's by several times over, yes.
Oh, many times over. I don't know what the actual number of people who watch it on the network is. The network has 1.5 million subscribers to it. Maybe, 500,000? If a third of those people are watching NXT, that sounds probably about right.
Yeah.
I mean, anecdotally, that shows me that the interest, and granted, that's, you know, not taking into effect the skewering of our particular audience, our friendos, who might appreciate what we appreciate. Maybe,
but there's also go back 6 months, and there was a stretch, maybe further than 6 months. This is just general ballpark figures here.
Yeah.
Our SmackDown recaps for a few weeks were doing better than the Raw ones.
Because
the show was good. We were interested in it, and the audience seemed interested
in it. I mean, it is absolutely. We saw this this week on Raw. The Gauntlet match dropped 20%. The Gauntlet match held people. It was interesting. It was cool. It was something different. It was fascinating. It was Seth Rollins trending worldwide for this fantastic performance. And then the last hour of Raw, which kind of felt like a slog after that 2-hour Gauntlet match, actually felt kind of, you know, not briskly paced.
Yes.
But it you know.
It felt fresh.
It felt fresh, you know, fell off a cliff.
But it's not uncommon for the 3rd hour of Raw for the ratings to dip.
Yeah, I know. I know. But, you know, at the same time, if something really cool happens, you know, the ratings will kind of stay.
Yeah.
By the same token, people know if creative is on fire or if they're not. And SmackDown, the bottom line with SmackDown, and it is written all over the place. Just Raw just recently got Ronda Rousey. They announced she's going to be going to Raw.
Yeah.
So that's another big name part-timer.
Yeah.
That is going to Raw, or at least, you know, experimental at this point. She's a big selling point, though. They got a fresh batch of graphics.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
I've noticed, on SmackDown this week that
the matchup graphics are a bit different.
And they're better. Yeah, they are better. But it seems like SmackDown. I'm derailing your point here. SmackDown still has they dominate in terms of the random words showing up during promos.
SmackDown,
I didn't notice that in Raw this past week,
has the cheapest form of package upgrade compared to Raw. It's like they took all the money. It is obvious at this point. The WWE Championship is a secondary championship to the Universal Championship. Mm-hmm. Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship. That is going to be the main event at mm-hmm. WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. I mean, all these things are given. Are givens. SmackDown has the feeling of being a B show.
Which wasn't the case for a stretch.
And here's the thing. We saw this back in... Number one, we saw this back after the brand split. SmackDown used to be creatively the superior show.
Yeah.
It was so much fun to watch. Yeah. They did... We point this out all the time. They did such a fantastic job of interweaving storylines up and down the card to make the entire thing feel like one
organic thing,
organic 2-hour narrative thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it was always fun to watch. It was always breezy. They did a great job of, like I said, interweaving all these stories. Nowadays, it just feels like it's spinning its wheels, and people, if they're not excited by what they're seeing, I used to really look forward to watching a SmackDown. Now, I'll be honest, I really look forward to watching Raw.
Because mm-hmm. Raw is doing all the things SmackDown was doing 6 to 8 months ago.
Right, exactly. Up and down the card. Like, how many people are in the main event? There are seven main eventers, basically, in the Elimination Chamber match coming up.
Including Dean Ambrose and Samoa Joe, who are out injured.
Right, exactly.
And Brock Lesnar, who's barely even there.
And now we can't even... So, like, Finn might have a thing with Miz, but then Braun might have a thing with Miz. Granted, we understand where Roman Brock is headed because that's been the plan seemingly
for more than a year.
Ever. And so that's kind of, we know where that's going. But with any of these other guys, they could take this in any number of directions and it'll be interesting. With SmackDown, it just feels like it's spinning its wheels. I said this last week or this week on the SmackDown episode. It just felt like AJ Styles is like the only guy who's really trying to elevate SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like top to bottom, there's not a lot of inspiration there. And I don't blame the wrestlers.
No.
Because it starts with creative.
Yes.
And if creative doesn't give them something inspiring to work with, it's not going to translate. The wrestlers aren't going to get what they're trying to do. You saw Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon this week. In an ill-lit... I mean, talk about a visual metaphor. A dimly lit office backstage, and they're just griping at each other.
You know, first of all,
that's not fun to watch.
A storyline on a show shouldn't be the bickering between authority figures.
Right.
And ever since they've pivoted to that being the focus, the show has suffered because of it.
It has. And when people aren't interested with what they watch on TV, they're not going to want to come watch it live.
No.
That's not enticing.
No.
And so, yeah, we'll see how the ratings do. I mean, it's entirely possible that 150,000 people would rather be watching basketball. And they said, oh, well, SmackDown's on. So we'll see what happened. Maybe those 150,000 people just wanted to tune in early for Crisley.
Could be.
Anyways, we like to be constructive around here.
Yeah,
Larson,
be positive.
Time to power rank.
Number one,
power rank.
Get rid of this Daniel Bryan, Shane McMahon storyline. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to lead to Daniel Bryan get back in the ring. And if that doesn't happen, it's going to seem even more underwhelming than it already has been.
Do you remember how much fun it was when they first started out as a productive duo who had each other's backs, who really wanted the best for everything?
Yeah.
It's not a good story, and it doesn't make your product more fun to watch. Like you said, when your A story is your two management guys bickering at each other.
Well, I don't agree with your decision. I don't agree with your decision.
I don't know where your head's at. I don't know where your head's at.
I know what you want to do. You want to get in the ring.
And the one kernel of something interesting that Shane said, I know what you're doing. You're living vicariously through these guys because you want to get in the ring. It just immediately went away. Mm-hmm. Like, there was one kernel of maybe interesting story there. And instead of diving into that and making it something that was interesting to watch, they just went away. And now they're just in a dimly lit office.
Bickering.
And I'm sorry, that's not interesting TV.
No.
That's not good. Power ranking still up there.
Especially when the participants in the segment know it's bad TV.
Right. And you can see it's all over their faces.
Yeah.
You can see that. Number two, talent infusion.
Yes.
I've never seen a brand need the shakeup or a new draft or something so much. SmackDown needs, it feels like Jinder this week was you know, hitting out at Bobby Roode, which we saw them fight for the U.S. title. However, he was also bringing Randy Orton into it. We saw Randy Orton versus Jinder Mahal ad nauseum.
Three times.
He even said that. For 3 months, I was going. So we've seen that already. Now it's just for the United States Championship, and you can bring the champion Bobby Roode into it. So we've seen that already. We've seen Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles ad nauseum. You bring Sami Zayn into it.
But we've seen Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn a bunch of times too. Granted, they put on great matches. Still, it's nothing new.
Right, yeah.
So, but beyond a talent infusion, they need a creative infusion as well.
Well, that's like numberable. Yeah,
they really need to find the inspiration, or if it's a matter of changing, bringing back the creative team that was leading that. People who were writing shows that were feeling organic and interweaving narratives in a way that made the show a breeze to watch and made it enjoyable for the whole 2 hours of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because lately, that's not the case.
Yeah. Number four, we actually got this lesson not this week, but last week. Just action. Just action.
Yes.
Less talking. This week started off with Renee Young interviewing AJ Styles, who was explaining the concept of a fatal five-way and how he can lose his match wherever he is. Doesn't matter where he is. Dolph Ziggler could be winning in the middle of the ring.
Yes.
The week before that, we got immediate action. We
Chaos.
Had a match that was supposed to start, but instead Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn just started beating up Baron Corbin. They came in, beat up Dolph Ziggler. It was just pure chaos for like 20 minutes. And it actually, for the first time in a very long time, felt kind of interesting. I was like, okay, yes. Wow, this is a really great way to start.
Number five, focus on your top talent. Where has Nakamura been the last 2-3 weeks?
He won the Royal Rumble, and he's nowhere to be found.
Rusev, arguably the most over guy on the show, second probably behind AJ.
Where has he been? How long has it been?
Hasn't been on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. It's odd to me. So I've heard one name quite a bit when we've talked about creative stuff, and that's Ryan Ward, who apparently was a writer on NXT.
Yeah, he was top writer. When they did the brand split, he was top writer on SmackDown. I don't know if he still is, though.
So from what I understand,
he is doing the Mixed Match Challenge.
And that is one of the most fresh things they have going for them right now.
Yeah.
It's very simple. It's so simple. They're just letting the wrestlers kind of be themselves. They're being a bit goofy, and it's perfect. It is so much fun to watch the Mixed Match Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
From what I understand, I mean, I just read the internet. Road Dogg got promoted to head of creative on SmackDown. I never want to see anybody lose their job, but man, I don't know. He needs some help.
Mm-hmm.
He needs some. Oh, you didn't know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he needs some help, dude. Mm-hmm. That's what he needs.
His ass better call somebody, huh?
His ass better call. Better call somebody. Better call Ryan Ward if indeed he was. I mean, I don't know if they lost something big with Jimmy Jacobs. I don't know. I have no idea.
I have no idea either.
I am not at the WWE. I don't have any insiders knowing the ins and outs of this stuff. Whoever is in charge of SmackDown right now needs to start doing a better job, though.
Yes. Yes.
Because it translates. When the product's good, you're going to see an uptick in ratings. You're going to see an uptick in attendance.
In attendance, yep.
That's going to happen.
When the product's not good, then the inverse is going to happen. You're going to see low ratings and low attendance.
Exactly.
It's not rocket science.
It really is. It always boggled my mind. It always boggled my mind that, like, especially with one, because I'm a huge nerd for DC Comics, right? That's what I grew up on. But my God, you have to admit, the feat that Disney and Marvel have pulled off has been incredible. And what DC is doing, just shooting themselves in the foot, it's an absolute disaster. Mm-hmm. It's a mess. And it's not that difficult to understand. Wonder Woman, I didn't see it, but by all accounts, it was a decent action flick. And at this point, a decent action flick translates to people saying, oh, this is a really good movie. I mean, for all I know, it could be a really good movie. I've just sort of heard mixed things about it. And hey, look at that. It made a ton of money.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
It made a ton of money.
I can't help you out.
I can't really. I don't know. But a lot of people say it's really good.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of great things about it.
Exactly. So you put out a decent product, even one that's adequate, that, you know, satiates people's, you know, creative appetites, and you'll make a bunch of money.
Yeah.
You know, Justice League was a massive pile of crap, and look at it. It underperformed.
Oh, yeah.
What a surprise.
I know.
A crap movie doesn't make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Not everybody can be Michael Bay and make crap movies and money over fist.
Yeah, and be a multimillionaire about
it. Still don't understand that one. Yeah. So, is SmackDown broken? Yeah, they need to. Oh, number six. Give him some big name part timers. Give them some big name part timer.
Yeah, there we had hope that The Undertaker was going to be their part timer.
Right. That would have been perfect. Although I don't really want to see him wrestle, but still, even his presence in some fashion.
And like Cena filled that role for a while, but now that he's free agent, just goes wherever he wants, Raw.
Except for Survivor Series. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. They don't have a dedicated part timer to themselves.
Right.
Which they really need.
If the WWE doesn't treat SmackDown as something that
is on par with Raw, then the viewers aren't going to view it as such, you know?
Where's Dean Ambrose even on Raw? Samoa Joe's on Raw? What is going on? Everybody's on Raw.
Well, you know, they have 3 hours to fill. That was always their justification.
Yeah, but you know what? They were like, hey, we got 3 hours, so we're going to get the cruiserweights, and they're nowhere to be found except for on 205 Live, which I'm actually okay with. But, you know, man, I don't know. So, yeah.
Let's talk about someone on Raw, and that being Roman Reigns.
Oh.
So back on January 19th.
Controversy.
We report on a story where John Bravo, who has a series of YouTube videos, uploaded.
Doesn't everybody know?
No, his are actually really, 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 really well done. They're really well photographed.
Oh, John Bravo's? Oh, I see. Yeah, I saw some. Yeah, they're good. Yeah.
He uploaded a new video about the allegations about Roman Reigns being associated with a steroid ring.
Oh.
A brief recap if you didn't follow the story. Bravo interviewed the former owner of Wellness Fitness Nutrition, Richard Rodriguez, was arrested by DEA agents February 2017 for his role in a steroid production and distribution ring and has since named Mark Wahlberg,
hey dog,
Josh Duhamel,
okay,
and Roman Reigns as his former clients. Reigns quickly denied the story when it was initially reported, saying, quote, I have never heard of Richard Rodriguez or Wellness Fitness Nutrition. I learned from the mistake I made nearly 2 years ago.
Boy, you're right. This stuff is really well filmed.
Yeah, it's really well shot and reasonably well edited. That's not like a backhanded compliment.
It's
editing, but it's well done. I learned from the mistake I made nearly 2 years ago and paid the penalty for it. Since then, I've passed 11 tests as part of WWE's independent drug testing program. Now, to the latest video, Bravo purports to show evidence that Josh Duhamel purchased PEDs from Rodriguez, emails and stuff like that, because I guess Bravo's saying he has Rodriguez's laptop. It was confiscated upon his arrest, released through the court proceedings, and somehow he has it now, but Rodriguez hasn't had it since his arrest. And that Bravo now claims that he is currently documenting evidence of Reigns' purchases from Wellness Fitness Nutrition, and which will be revealed in a subsequent video.
Oh, no.
And then Bravo claims that based on the, I guess, what documents he's gone through, that the products that Reigns obtained from Wellness Fitness Nutrition are products, quote, not meant for human consumption.
Oh, dear.
I mean, I guess that the idea that they
horses.
Won't.
Horses,
he won't,
right?
He won't test positive for something because it's not meant to ever be consumed by a human being.
So they don't test horses, I guess.
I guess not. I guess if it's something usually associated with humans taking as well as horses, then yes.
Wow.
I mean, that's why the only reason I would think you'd take something that, and I don't know if Reigns did. I'm not trying to say.
See,
he did.
I thought I figured it'd be like he wants to be like super jacked, like a horse.
He's taking like the super serum that Captain America had.
Right. Exactly.
Something like that.
The super horse serum.
Whatever. We don't know if there's any truth to any of these allegations.
Yeah. So Roman Reigns, of course, obviously only like, you know, when this first happened a couple weeks ago, he flat out denied it. I don't know this guy. I don't know who he is. WWE doesn't have a statement about this claim
and
here.
And Meltzer makes a good point. Until there's actual documentation that can be verified independently.
Yeah.
They won't. And there's probably no reason for them to. Additionally, Bravo posted a YouTube comment. I assume on one of these videos. This is according to Fightful, where he claims that up to 15 WWE
that could be a huge problem
were clients of Rodriguez.
Yeah. So this could either be nothing or it could be something massive.
It could go back to the case in 2007 where a bunch of people got suspended.
Like a ton of people, yeah. So,
yeah, and this is, you know, for WWE, bad timing.
This is terrible
leading up to WrestleMania.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've got Elimination Chamber, you know, which is supposed to determine the number one contender. And granted, they can always write themselves out. If this does end up being a something, and Roman Reigns does get suspended for 60 days for buying drugs that aren't meant for people,
yeah,
then they can always they'll just come out and say, hey, he's been suspended, he's abdicated his opportunity
at WrestleMania. Here you go, Braun.
And yeah, or we'll just put together a tournament or
a quick fatal four-way or something.
A fatal four-way. Something.
I checked the dates on the Josh Demel emails where he allegedly, supposedly ordered stuff from Rodriguez. And they were falling. I think the one they showed repeatedly was late 2015. Reigns was suspended mid 2016. And I know when we talked this last time, we speculated that maybe what he actually, you know, we were hearing that Reigns got suspended for Adderall usage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if, and this is a massive if there's any truth to any of this stuff, if Reigns was suspended for what he's being implicated here, then wouldn't it be a double jeopardy situation for him where WWE couldn't necessarily suspend him again for the same violation, right?
Okay, well,
unless they would do so just to avoid a massive PR hit.
There's that. I would think it'd be less that than when Roman Reigns was hit with his wellness policy violation.
That was June 2016, so about 6 months.
I'll put it this way. If you committed two separate crimes in a span of time, like in a 3 month span of time.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were popped for one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But that other one is still outstanding.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they could say, well, no, that was for that. And yes, this was around that same amount of time. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. What was he popped for in the first? It was a failed test, right?
Yeah, but they never publicly said what it was. It was just, you know, Meltzer and several other people said they thought it was Adderall.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it all depends. It depends on what the evidence is.
Exactly, exactly.
And I think you're probably right. Like, if this is going to be... I don't know. I mean, ESPN really doesn't do WWE stuff anymore.
Mm-mm.
Like, even when they did, it was all pro WWE. That's why they stopped doing it. Because, I don't know. I mean, it depends on what it is. If you literally have Roman Reigns on videotape, like buying horse tranks or horse steroids,
I don't think it'd be that.
I don't think it'd be that either. Yeah, exactly.
Where if in one of John Bravo's subsequent videos, there's alleged documentation of Reigns purchasing PEDs, and then there's a way. I mean, that unto itself is not enough.
Right.
You need independent verification, whether it be through Reigns' emails. Like, but they can't subpoena Reigns' emails and get into that stuff, you know?
I don't know if...
Stuff needs to be corroborated.
See, I don't know if buying them and then testing positive for them is all the same violation, or if proof that you bought them... is enough for its own thing.
Well, I think this is speculation again. I want to preface that. That if what he tested for and was positive
is what he bought, that should just be the same thing.
Exactly.
Because he had to have gotten it from somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah, I see your point totally. So I don't know.
We don't know.
There's the possibility. I would think, you would think that Reigns would, you know, Reigns seems smart enough, and he's, what, their number two paid guy or number three paid guy, something like that?
I think he's their top paid full-time guy.
Yeah. You would think that he would go to the WWE and say, and I mean, I guarantee they pulled him and said, what is this?
Yeah.
And he's probably like, this was that.
Yeah.
And they're like, nothing else? Nothing else.
Yeah.
There hasn't been anything in 2017? No. Well, this guy was popped in February 2017.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I said that Josh Demel, the alleged Josh Demel orders were late 2015. And then about 6 months later, Reigns was suspended.
Yeah. The big thing is going to be these. I mean, this is such a throwaway thing, but 15 other superstars, that could potentially ruin a brand right there, you know? Mm-hmm. So who knows about that?
Mm-hmm.
But again, if, you know, If it's something, it's something, and we'll find out. If it's nothing, it'll just drift away.
Yep.
You know, but something to keep it. I mean, I do wonder if WWE is coming up with any sort of contingency plan. I mean, you'd think just in the back of Vince's mind, like, I'll just throw Braun in there.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
we'll
they
figure
have
it that, out. Put Braun in
they
there.
They have that plan B.
People love
ready
Braun.
Ready to go.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of blood, there will probably be none at WrestleMania.
Well, at least not intentional blood.
You know, if you're a big fan of CZW, don't expect to see any of that
stuff.
Not
just at WrestleMania, but any show WrestleMania weekend taking place in New Orleans, Louisiana.
No show in Louisiana wrestling. Hey, you know, but here's the thing, though. So let's get into the story, but this applies, I believe...
To all shows happening that weekend.
To all shows happening that week. Is CZW running a show?
Probably not. I don't think they ran a show in Orlando last year. John Pollock of Post Wrestling recently spoke with Russell Naquin of the Louisiana Boxing and Wrestling Commission regarding the regulations about wrestling shows happening over the entirety of Mania weekend. And this is the ones he mentioned. First off, no pile drivers. No pile drivers. Apparently, the pile driver someone took got hurt, banned.
Are they even going to let Joey Janela cross the state border?
That's a good question.
He's got his spring break part two in New Orleans.
There's a good chance he'll violate the first two regulations here. Second regulation, no blood, so that means no cutting.
Again, Joey Janela is not going to be allowed
to.
But if
there was unintentional blood, if someone bled the hard way, they're not going to stop the match.
That's got to be, yeah, right? Like, yeah. They can't just...
Third, promoters must be licensed by the state, although they can essentially borrow a license from an existing promotion within the state already.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Promoters must have up-to-date lab work done for all talents. All wrestlers must have a license to wrestle in the state. Cost $25 to buy a license to wrestle in the state of Louisiana. Oof. Lastly, talent will be subject to a physical at the venue on the day of the show. So they got to have a lot of doctors working for this commission.
Jeez.
To go into the what? How many shows were there in Orlando last weekend?
Oh, my God.
Like 60
last
something?
Last year, you mean? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, last year. Like oh, 60 or 70, 80,
ton.
Something like that.
What do we asked Joey Ryan, and he was doing 9 altogether?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, I think that was right. The Observer, Wrestling Observer newsletter, mentions, quote, the commission will be having a meeting. I love having a meeting about this one thing. The commission will be
yes!
The commission will be having a meeting on March 7th to determine whether the Canadian Destroyer fits into the category of a pile driver.
Of course it does. It's like the super duperest pile driver there is.
Yeah, no, man. You're really putting a lot of energy and torque into that
pile driver. Literally flipping a guy over to do a pile driver.
And then Nelson was saying that there was some ambiguity whether a tombstone was a pile driver. It's in the name. It's a tombstone pile driver. But then he was going saying that none of this is going to stop The Undertaker if he has a match from dropping John Cena.
Of course not. Of course not. Because here's the thing also. What's the fine? What are they going to do?
They're not going to go backstage to Mania and pull the plug on the show.
That's a $300 fine for Mark Calloway.
I know.
Here, I'll cover it.
I know Vince will cover that.
Yeah.
He probably, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's like, wrote a check for 10 grand as commission.
I know, cover exactly. Yeah, in case we bleed, in case of file drivers.
I know.
Those cruiserweights really love their Canadian Destroyers.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. That's hilarious. But, I mean, you have to wonder, you know. I mean, there's, look, like we said, there's like 60 shows. God, I want to say it was more. There was a ton
of shows.
It was like
83 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I think it was like in the 80s. Last year in Orlando, you know, some of these are really small promotions coming out there and just trying to get noticed.
Yep.
Having them do physicals at the venues on the day of the show.
Well, I would think that'd be commission doctors doing that.
They come out there like as part of just like they don't do the venues have to pay or do the promotions have to pay for the doctors to come out?
I don't think so. I think that's probably all. I would think all because this is regulated by this commission, they would have to be paying the doctors to come out. The lab work, I would assume that'd be the wrestlers just pay
that's
for that.
Yeah, probably the wrestlers probably.
And I wonder too that if once you say you have a show on Friday and you see a doctor then you pass, do you still have to get another physical on Sunday?
Oh, I don't know.
You know?
Like, yeah, Joey Ryan does, where do we see him at? Oh, WCPW, now Defiant. And then he was running to a different show. Does he have to go there and go, or I don't know what they do in a physical.
Yeah, I don't know.
Cough or whatever.
Well, I don't think it's that kind of physical. I think it's just to make sure
grab
that,
my balls.
You know, you're fit to wrestle.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know what they do.
Like you're not concussed and stuff like that.
Okay. Can you see?
I don't think they're going to be doing urine samples at every show because it takes time to run the lab on those.
Right, exactly.
So
I love when we get to speculate on shit that we have no clue.
Well, that's 90% of what we do, Steve.
Pretty much.
That's pretty much all of Matt Chat this week.
I'm out of water. I know. It's so much fun, too. Anyways, so.
Not a whole lot of news there. Just interesting.
Hey, just know that at New Orleans, if you're going to be there, just appreciate all the stuff these people have to go through just to entertain you.
And appreciate what the state of Louisiana is doing to ensure the safety of the talent and the audience.
Hey, look, man, pile drivers are no joke.
Nope.
You know, a lot of more people are. I see pile driver gifts all the time. I don't know what Joey Janela's going to do that, man.
There's a pile driver renaissance these days.
There really is. Tony Storm.
Yeah.
Luthez. I saw a Luthez gift the other day. He's doing black and white stuff again.
Well, he doesn't wrestle anymore. That's probably from the 50s. Anyways. So, you know, there's an all-in show coming up, Steve, on September 1st.
The Young Bucks present GG All-In.
GG All-In, yes.
Yeah.
You know, people, including myself, speculated about whether, you know, maybe CM Punk might show up at the show up and take
place.
Well,
it's going to be in Chicago.
Well, not confirmed, but yeah, that's what everybody thinks.
Yeah, so he's going to do it.
And Punk has been kind of teasing people prodding them
in
recent weeks a possible appearance at this All-In show. For example, earlier this week, Punk tweeted, quote, "Recently, a lot of people have been asking me if I'm in." Follow that tweet up with, "You know I'm in. Hashtag everybody in. Hashtag Cubs at Cubs." He's a huge Chicago Cubs fan.
Loves the Cubbies.
So there's like a Cubs graphic that just said in.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in. Because the new season's geared up.
Yeah.
He was teasing people about the All-In show, saying, "No, I'm just a huge Cubs fan."
Yeah.
Teasing people. But it's that. He did another one with the Young Bucks going back and forth about running a marathon.
Something, yeah.
And then the Bucks asked him, "You want to run a marathon with us in September?"
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I'm running one in October. I'll do a half with you in September."
Yeah.
And then he put it like a Superman gif.
Mm-hmm.
So he's teasing people.
Yeah.
So after he loses his fight at UFC 225.
When is UFC 225?
3 months from now, I want to say. May, June, something like that.
Okay, all right.
So I think the last one was 222.
He'll be there.
He'll make an appearance.
Yeah, he's not going to wrestle.
No.
He probably won't even cut a promo.
No, he'll just be there. I think he might just be sitting in the crowd.
I think he'll just be sitting in the crowd.
He'll
probably
be there.
Yeah.
He'll be there.
Or like in a little special area.
Yeah, he'll
It'd
be there.
It'd probably be really annoying to be him in like that crowd.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Because then it's just everybody's going to be bugging you, man.
What if he just opens the show with a fiery promo?
I mean, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though, that if they want to sell out the place, or at least
they'd have to announce that he's going to be there.
Yes, exactly. 10,000 people. And even just the idea that he might be there, I don't think is enough.
Oh, I don't know.
To satisfy that.
I don't. It's Chicago. It's Chicago. And I get the feeling that at least this first one is going to have so much buzz behind it. You know, let me ask you something. Do you think New Japan's Strong Style Evolved could have sold out 10,000?
Yeah. They sold out 5,300 in 20 minutes.
That entire audience would probably do the same for All In.
Oh,
because there's going to be some, besides the obvious, there's going to be some native New Japan names that show up,
probably.
I'd imagine. Naito just did a loop in, Dayton?
The Midwest.
Yeah, the Midwest.
Probably like 700 people.
So that's weird, A. But B, tell me that New Japan's not going to have some people out there.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Of course they're going to be out there. So I don't know, man. This is going to feel like a New Japan / Ring of Honor, but then
it's going to be its own thing entirely,
but
too.
But then, and cool, you know? It's going to be because
like Joey Ryan will probably be there.
Right, exactly.
I know the Bucks already said that the initial plan for them was to do the Young Bucks versus Joey Ryan and Candice
LeRae in a guerrilla
warfare match.
Which means they're planning pretty big. Like, this is a pretty big deal.
Yeah. And they're looking beyond just New Japan Ring of Honor.
And it's going to have a lot of buzz around it. So, and the idea, the general idea that he could be there, and there's a possibility that he could just keep on doing this, understanding full well that just the buzz around him tweeting these, you know, little teases
is good for them, is good for the show,
kind of gives away that he's going to be there in some form or fashion, or at least that he's endorsing it. So, and it's in Chicago. So, yeah, I think that even if he's not there, even if they can't advertise him being there, I still think it has a really good chance of selling out at 10,000.
Yeah, could be.
I mean, it's going to be the kind of thing where I don't know if they'll be able to do that on a, like, yearly basis.
Yeah, I know.
But at least for this one moment when the Bullet Club and Kenny and Cody are capturing this zeitgeist,
they can get 2 years out of it this year, and then Daniel Bryan's a free agent. Next year, or sign with Ring of Honor in New Japan.
There you go.
He can be involved next year.
Yeah, and Daniel Bryan himself probably sell out 10,000, you know? So, yeah, man, I don't know. I think it's going to be, like, something pretty big.
Oh, I know.
You know?
I know someone asked Cody if it was going to be streaming,
mm-hmm.
and he said depending on initial ticket sales.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I hope so. I hope they stream it.
Yeah, me too. I don't know. When is it?
September 1st.
September 1st?
Bolo weekend.
What are we in? We're in February.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's go to Chicago.
I've heard lovely things about Chicago.
We can go to Chicago. I've been to Chicago once.
You've been to the airport, right?
I've been to the airport. I'm sorry. That's always my joke. I've been there once, and I was at the airport and the hotel because our plane got delayed by like 12 hours. That was on our way to our honeymoon to London.
Yeah, I've only been to the airports in Chicago. Never actually visited the city.
I've never visited the
city. I've heard it's lovely, though.
I'm sure it's amazing. Well, I'll go. September, it's near my birthday.
Yeah, there you go. You got a milestone birthday coming up here, Steve.
Oh, fucking hell, I do. Yep. Anyways, do you guys want to see CM Punk
at All In.
Uh-huh.
Who wouldn't want to see CM? But man, we were just watching some of his John Cena promo stuff, and it's got me hyped up for CM. I know.
It made you wispy.
It got me wispy, man. Anyways, we got some insider knowledge about that amazing Gauntlet match on Raw.
We do, and specifically, who booked it? According to PW Insider, it was Vince.
Yeah, listen, I got a great idea. 2 hours of road.
They're like, hey, so Vince, we got the script here. We got the script ready.
No, listen, tear that up. It's too long. Don't want to read it. Don't have time. I'm trying to fix the X and the XFL over here because it's not extreme enough. How about this? Take the last hour is fine. What are we going to do? First 2 hours, one match. Gauntlet match. 7 people. All gauntleting inside the ring.
Gauntleting.
Huh? Yeah, exactly.
Making up words, Vince.
That's what I call it. I can make up whatever I want. I'm a billionaire.
So, yeah, apparently Vince McMahon was the one who, out of nowhere, according to PW Insider, came up with this. They said that person was Vince McMahon, who we are told was the person who suggested the gauntlet out of nowhere, which surprised some, since we are told he is traditionally not very high on such matches.
I don't like it.
And apparently from there, the match was laid out. And then Vince said, okay, give it 2 hours. And such as it was.
Yeah, man.
It happened.
Yeah.
Let's do it. All right.
It's
are we good?
Show that Vince isn't completely out of touch at all times.
You know, but it's still, it's okay. Here's the thing. So it was great. It was fantastic, right?
Yes.
But the fact that it was out of nowhere shows you just how fickle the quality of Raw could be.
Oh, I know.
Week to week.
It's all up to the whims of a 70-something-year-old man.
Just the whims. The gauntlet match was like a huge. And the thing is, the success of it is only going to bolster him. It's only going to be, I still got it. All right, give me 205 Live, give me NXT, and give me SmackDown
could actually probably use him.
Yeah. That'd be great if we could. That's number 7. Put Vince on SmackDown every week.
Oh, dear.
That'd draw ratings.
Ooh.
Just put him in there as a character.
Why are you guys arguing? Just fight.
Well, Dad, Daniel Bryan isn't.
Just fight, damn it.
Blow your nose.
Here's some Clarinex. You idiot.
Oh, man.
All right, that's the show.
No, it's not. We got some questions. I put out a question on the Twitter.
All right, well.
How long have we gone so far?
I don't know. What does that say, 42?
Yeah.
Oh, we got a couple minutes for questions.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Well, I'll ask you some questions here.
You want them answered immediately.
I want to answer them immediately. All right, here we go. Here's a great gif of Gigi Allen dancing naked. Mm-mm. So that's good.
No.
Ben Higgins, who do you guys think will be NXT men and women's champion by Mania 35? 1 year from now, Larson.
Ricochet.
Not Aleister Black.
No, Aleister Black's going to be on main roster by then.
You think Shayna Baszler's going to have a long run? Because here's the thing. She's still kind of green. So I think she'll probably get the title pretty, like, I would. Well, she'll probably fight Kairi Sane at Takeover? Maybe?
Yeah. I was going to say Kairi Sane for women's champion.
I'm going to say Shayna.
All right.
I'll say Shayna.
But Ricochet for men's champion?
Sure. No, I'm going to say Lars Sullivan.
All right.
Yeah. Let's see here. W.S. Fletcher wants to know where the Star Trek podcast is. The Four Lights podcast coming very soon. Not to this channel, but to my channel at MF Steve here on YouTube, and I'm going to rebrand it Friendoville
so that you
can be on it.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Nast at Nast Plays with Jeff Jarrett. Ain't I great? Getting into the Hall of Fame, power rank, the top 5 not going to happen inductees that would surprise you most for next year.
1, CM Punk.
Okay, yeah, that's number 1.
2, Scott Steiner.
Scott Steiner's got to be number 1. CM Punk, I mean, that's still a year. They could probably still think they can get him back.
Maybe. Scott Steiner's, neither of those are going to happen.
Scott Steiner's number 1.
Actually, I think Owen Hart right now is number 1.
That was one of the more interesting things that the newsletter mentioned about Jeff Jarrett. Was that apparently Vince likes the whole thought of, well, we were on bad terms, but now we're bringing you back into the fold after we've been on bad terms.
Yeah.
So
he likes that narrative?
Yeah. If Scott Steiner, look,
that's a huge caveat there.
Hold on a second. How many people in WWE reacted the way they did? Like, Rebby Hardy was talking crap about Jeff Jarrett. God, I don't know. You go down the list of people who might have a problem with Jeff Jarrett. And I don't, like, if Vince is cool with it, then Vince is cool with it. And, you know, Vince likes weirdos.
Well, I think the thing is that Scott Steiner has to be cool with it. And thus far, he is not cool with the
idea
of
going to WWE. Yeah, I know, but now he owns a restaurant and he's got, like...
Just recently, I think he said he doesn't care about going to the WWE Hall of Fame. He wants to go to the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Of course he's going to say that.
But Owen Hart's not going to get in until his wife lets it happen.
Yeah, I know, that's true. But, I mean, that could just be one decision. That could just be one day she'll let it happen. But no, that's a good one. Owen Hart, that's a really good one. It must be surprising.
China seems inevitable at this point.
Yeah, I would think
It'll
so.
It'll happen at some point.
I would think so. That has to be soon. Mm-hmm. That would have to be soon. Do you think DX would get in as their own thing?
Yeah, they will at some point.
They're going to have a DX year where it's her. Xbox not in yet. Xbox, China, and DX all
and New
in.
New Age Outlaws because they're not in.
New Age Outlaws. Just a DX year?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Let's see here. Raymond Earl Melius II.
Sid probably won't go in anytime soon.
Sid, I could see him going in. Why wouldn't he go in? Why wouldn't?
Yeah, I've been asking
not Sid?
Him and Vader have been asked in the last few years. Yeah, Luger. I thought him too.
Luger.
Yeah,
he'll,
Luger probably.
He'll
not.
Go in next year. Oh, what? Luger, no, but Jeff Jarrett, yes. That's insane.
It is insane. Luger deserves going before Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I think he will. I'm sorry.
No, he won't.
You're right. He won't. He's not going to. You're right. He won't. I think that Luger will get in, though.
How come Vader's not in yet?
That is weird. Vader was great. I wonder if it's because to this day, Vince doesn't see much in Vader.
Could be.
Because he didn't like go very far in the WWE because Vince like didn't see much.
But like Sid did. Sid's not a good wrestler. But he was multi-time world champion.
He's really tall.
Well, what's several that, promotions.
What was that gif of Vader? I'm just a fat piece of shit or something. Oh, my goodness. Raymond Earl Melius II. With the Elimination Chamber on Sunday and the tag division growing with amazing talent, what are the chances that we see a tag team Elimination Chamber match in the near future?
Oh,
of course,
that'd be great.
We did see one before a couple years ago.
Yeah, a few years back.
And he says, what teams would you want to see in the match? You have, what, five teams? No, six. Was it six?
Six. So give me Authors of Pain.
Authors of Pain, T-Bar.
New Day.
The New Day, the Usos. We need one more.
No, we need two more. That's four.
Oh, yeah.
TM61.
Oh, TM61 and Redragon.
There you go.
Yeah. The Undisputed Era. Let's see here. Nope. Oh, here we go. URFNC. PWG on the 23rd and New Japan on the 25th. Which ones will I see you guys at?
New Japan on the 25th.
Well, New Japan is a maybe for me. Impact on the 23rd is a definite for both of us.
Yeah. Nice. I told you they got the tickets, right? They're actually physical tickets.
I know.
And they're small. They're about this large. It's great. It's the best thing.
That's awesome.
Like, I hope I don't lose them. They're so small.
Oh, dear. Zach.
Because they're front row.
Who do you think will have the best 2018 after Mania?
In all of wrestling or just main roster WWE?
WWE NXT 205 Live. He's going to have the best 2018 after Mania.
My guts tell me Aleister Black, because he's probably going to pick up that NXT title.
I think Roman Reigns is going to be Universal Champion.
I know, but that's such...
Par for the course.
Yeah, I know.
Par for the course. I'll say Seth Rollins compared to where he's been.
Yeah, I know. I thought him too.
Yeah. Let's see here. Ooh, what a good question. It's kind of on-the-spot question, though, from Flint. What's one match or rivalry that everyone else hates but you like a lot? I'm trying to think of a rivalry that everybody hates.
Or a match. It's not a match that people hate, but like the end of an era match.
Mm-hmm.
How is that not like number one on all the WWE best match lists?
I know.
It's like, I don't think it's in the top 10.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's weird. Yeah. No, I agree with you on that one. Man, when I saw that video package for Gargano and Almas, I was like, God damn, this has been so great.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's so simple. Let's see here. Ooh, Jesse James Helsius. What is the best WWE tournament of all time?
Oh, Survivor Series 98. Deadly Games Tournament, crown new WWF champion.
Oh, what a great answer. Can't argue with that one. Although I counted the Mae Young was really good.
Yeah, Mae Young was good. Cruiserweight Classic was really good. Yeah. But in terms of, you know, like crowning a new champion all in one night.
Well, yeah, it was like a feature-length movie.
Yeah, I
know. It was like intrigue.
All sorts of twists and turns.
Probably have Russo to thank for that, too.
Or a lot of it, yeah.
King of Beard Style. Would Cena have been as popular in the Attitude Era? Not including, he says, I really like Thugonomic Cena. That might have worked. But would current PG Cena have worked in the Attitude Era?
I mean, he might have turned it up a little bit more and not been so PG, but yeah.
Yeah.
As good as he is on the mic, he'd been fine.
He's like all time. Like, plunk him down in any era, anytime. Cena versus Farmer Brown, who wins?
Cena.
Cena lol. Lol Cena wins. Yeah, okay. Making sure. Cena versus Luthez.
Lol Cena wins.
Cena versus Vern Gagne in the AWA.
Lol Cena wins.
Wow, that really?
Yeah, Vern lost the belt to a dust to eventually get it back, though.
Cena versus Jeff Jarrett in the USWA.
Oh, Jeff Jarrett. This is dad booking.
Oh, good point. Oh, wait. Cena versus Kerry Von Erich in WCCW.
I think Cena would have picked up at least one win.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just for to Kerry to get it.
Hey,
back.
They trusted the Freebirds to do the business, to do business. let's see here. Oh, we'll end on this one. It's the easiest one to answer. From Shoes for Crewies. What would you like to see happen between now and Mania behind the scenes? The answer is somebody hire a better writer for SmackDown. That is the answer.
Yep.
Because
yep.
Really needs to step up his game. Anyways, that's it for now. Thank you guys so much for watching. We appreciate it. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Stop recording. It's doing it again. Always do it.